Today is Ash Wednesday, and the epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Joel. Thus saith the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil. Who knoweth but he will return and forgive and leave a blessing behind him, sacrifice and libation to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Sion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather together the people, sanctify the church, assemble the ancients, gather together the little ones and them that suck at the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed and the bride out of her bride chamber. Between the porch and the altar, the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, where is their God? The Lord hath been zealous for his land, and has spared his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be filled with them. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, saith the Lord Almighty. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 16 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, who disfigure their faces in order to appear to men as fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou dost fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, so that thou mayest not be seen fasting by men, but by thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who sees in secret will reward thee. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust and moth consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consumes, nor thieves break in and steal. For where thy treasure is, there also will thy heart be. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So now we begin the most solemn of liturgical seasons, the season of Lent, with this holy day of Ash Wednesday. It has been a custom for human beings, both pagan and those who believe in the true God, from the beginning of the human race, to use ashes as a symbol of sacrifice, of fasting, of penance, of death. Now we occasionally through the year preach at the beginning of the Mass when you receive a sacramental, such as on Feast of the Purification of Blessed Virgin Mary or on Palm Sunday. But we have this sermon at the customary time because you all have received now this sacramental of blessed ashes on your heads, so that you may receive the graces of this Mass and the words that we speak with greater fruit. Even from the Book of Genesis, that was 6,000 years ago, there was a custom of sitting in or covering oneself with ashes, to do penance for sins. And even the pagans did it, as I mentioned, as we've mentioned before, that great epic poem, the Iliad. Homer writes in there, he has the character putting ashes on himself as a sign of grief for the circumstance that he is in. And of course, Job, you know the book of Job, that was about 2000 BC, and he was a Gentile, and he, after Lucifer proposed to God to tempt this man and cause great misfortune for him, God said, of course, knowing that Job would be faithful, he gave Satan permission to afflict harm in this man. And Job was very wealthy, had a beautiful family, children, lots of possessions. And God permitted the devil to touch him, and he lost everything. He was covered with sores, put ashes on himself, and knew that it was the grace of God that he endured this because of his sins and also as a punishment in this life, which results in death. But because of his fidelity, and Job is an example for all of us, because he was faithful to the end, even after his friends were they were compassionating him, but some were ridiculing him and chiding him. God lifted the influence of the devil and restored everything back to him. You know the expression, the patience of Job. That's what we must have as we go through our lives in the midst of our sufferings. Now this day, Ash Wednesday, the origin goes back 1,000 years in terms of the practices that we just underwent. Originally, it was for sinners who were grave sinners, public sinners, who had to do public penance. And so they would wear a sackcloth, not regular clothes, but a sackcloth, and have ashes on them, blessed ashes put on them as a mark for their evil lives. And then these public sinners would sing the 7 penitential psalms, and they'd be driven out of the church. They couldn't go to church for 40 days. And then they were, on Holy Thursday morning, brought back and allowed to receive the sacrament of penance, absolution. It was about 1,200 years ago that this liturgy was developed in terms of the prayers given for these ashes. And then, as I said, about 1,000 years, Pope Urban VI commanded that all the faithful receive the ashes. And that is because, and as you may have remembered when our Father Superior would mention these details, the rest of the faithful, the ones that weren't public sinners, they were jealous of those sinners who were wearing the ashes because they wanted to be part of it too. So it was developed that all the faithful would have ashes imposed on their foreheads, and for the clergy it's on top of the head. And they would all enter the church led by the bishop or the priest, and they'd all be going in hands held, sign of unity. In today's parlance, it'd be, we're all in this together. We all commit sins, and our sins result in other people committing sins, but also the good works we can perform, we should perform, can lead to the good of our neighbor. But this day is the solemn time when we get serious about our Catholic faith, that we perform penances and extra prayers to prepare us for Easter in 40 days. Easter, the greatest feast day of the year. Liturgically renewing the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. His greatest miracle. But it also, these days, are made to prepare us for our resurrection. This day, all of Lent, especially Holy Week and the Sacred Triduum, are to prepare us so that when we die, whenever that may be, because death comes as a thief in the night. As we know, this past year, people we know have suddenly passed away. And we must be prepared, because death is a frightening thing to face God at our particular judgment, the moment we die, and also at the general judgment. But this day of Ash Wednesday is not to make us sad and gloomy and thinking of Lent as something to endure, but something that we should welcome. We have another chance to receive the greatest graces of the year during Lent. Each day has its own Mass. Each day, special actual graces are meant for us. So that's why not only prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are commanded, encouraged by the Church, but also the greatest work we can perform is assistance at daily Mass, if we're able to. If you recall in the Old Testament, and this was in the book of Joel, which is the excerpt was from read in this epistle, and this was 800 BC approximately. This prophet Joel, he warned the people that unless they would do penance, a scourge would come upon them because, as you know, God in the Old Testament had very dramatic ways of punishing both the chosen people, the Hebrews, and the pagans. Look at the 10 plagues and sufferings imposed by God on the Egyptians because they would not release, the Pharaoh would not release his people. And this prophet Joel warned the people that unless you do penance, a terrible scourge from the past will come on you again, and that is a plague of locusts. Just a few weeks ago, there was, I believe it was in Northern Africa, but it was reported in the news that this area was overrun by huge plague of locusts. And you'd think that'd be something that would be reported in the news, but no. It's a reminder for people of the punishments of God, and they don't want to think about that. And then our Lord tells the story, recounts the story of Jonas and the warning the Ninevites that they had to do penance or their city would be destroyed. So the king ordered that all the people and all the animals would do penance, fasting for 3 days. And it worked because God's anger against that city was appeased. Listen to one of the prayers that was used to bless these ashes. O God, you are merciful to the humble and forgiving to the penitent. Graciously hear our prayers and in your mercy bless your servants who are about to be sprinkled with these ashes. Fill them with sorrow for their sins. Hear the petitions which they justly make of you. And let the benefits which you may grant them remain with them forever unchanged. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember what we said recently in a sermon, and you've heard many times from the pulpit, from Father Superior and other priests, about how God, through the sacraments, uses ordinary material things, blesses those things, articles, and uses them to convey infinite supernatural graces. So ordinary water is blessed and made into baptismal water, and God uses it to take away original sin and to give us new life. Because water is used for cleaning and for sustaining our lives when we drink it. Same thing with ashes. Because in the Old Testament, from the very beginning, it was supposed to be the Garden of Paradise, the perfect life for Adam and Eve and for all of us, their descendants. But because of the sin of Adam, notice I didn't say Eve, it was Adam, because he sinned as the head of the human race, we are punished. We inherit his sin, which is original sin. So God said many words after Adam and Eve had sinned and were ashamed. We don't have the time to read the entire account. But as when he said to Eve, why have you done this? And she says, because the serpent tempted me. And he asks to Adam, why have you done this? Because the woman you put next to me presented the apple, the fruit, the forbidden fruit. They wouldn't admit their guilt. They didn't say, God, have mercy on me because I have sinned. But then God turns to the serpent, the devil who is in the form of a serpent, and he says, because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all beasts of the field. On your belly shall you crawl, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall lie in wait for his heel. So right after they sinned, God promised that he would send a very holy woman, and from that woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Savior of the world would come to save his people. To the woman, he said, I will make great your distress in childbearing. In pain shall you bring forth children, for your husband shall be your longing, though he have dominion over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat, cursed be the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. In the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, since out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. So that last phrase, for dust you are, and unto dust you shall return, those were the words that the priest said over you while you received the blessed ashes. You should take that very seriously, because it is the sacramental. These moments, this Mass, is not something to waste, to take lightly, to not appreciate to the depths of your heart. Because each one of you received a gift this morning, that is a special grace to come to this Mass. To renew liturgically and really what the Church has been doing for centuries. Millions upon millions of faithful have done what we've done today. All to make us have a true conversion of heart. This day is meant to really convey two fundamental truths, to make us humbly realize our nothingness, it is a sort of a common practice today, and especially in the last 10-20 years, for people to look online in their genealogy to see who their relatives were, as a matter of interest and curiosity, which is fine. But after that's done, it's written down someplace or on a computer, and those people are all forgotten. Who even thinks of the people who lived 100 years ago? Do you know who Catholics think of, apart from praying for their deceased relatives? But we think of the saints, those truly holy people, the true saints, not phony, corrupt saints, real saints, who received ashes on Ash Wednesday just like the rest of us. And they realized, because they were humble, their nothingness. But the second truth that we are reminded of is the reality of death, that we have to face that. Yes, we should fear death, as we said earlier. But for the faithful Catholic, for the one who prays sincerely, who's faithful to his daily rosary and his spiritual reading and receiving the sacraments of penance and especially the Holy Eucharist, when death comes or is about to come, they're not afraid. or their fear is greatly diminished because they've been given great confidence by receiving these sacraments and, God willing, extreme unction. Just a few weeks ago, there was one of the people who comes to Mass here had a terrible situation and had to go to the hospital. He was dying. And we had to anoint him, give him the sacrament of extreme unction, because it was serious. So after we heard his confession and anointed him, we reminded him that he may face death. You have to be prepared. And he said, "I am ready, Father, and thank you for coming." He was not afraid. And it was a beautiful thing to see him have such confidence. And I just, a week ago, gave him Holy Communion because he was at Mass here on Sunday again. Because that sacrament has the ability to restore health as a secondary effect if God wills it. And those types of results, or we can call them little miracles maybe, that's happened to all of the priests here in the community. Here's how one spiritual writer says it. Our pride, our arrogance, need to grasp this truth, to realize that everything in us is nothing, drawn from nothing by the creative power of God, by his infinite love, which willed to communicate his being and his life to us. We cannot, because of sin, be reunited with him for eternity without passing through the dark reality of death. The consequence and punishment of sin, death, is in itself bitter and painful. But Jesus, who wanted to be like to us in all things, in submitting to death, has given all Christians the strength to accept it out of love. Nevertheless, death exists, and we should reflect on it, not in order to distress ourselves, but to arouse ourselves to do good. Thomas a Kempis, in The Imitation of Christ, he says, "All things are passing, God alone remains, and therefore it urges us to detach ourselves from everything, to scorn every earthly satisfaction, and to seek God alone. The thought of death makes us understand that all is vanity, except to love God and serve him alone." St. Teresa of Avila says, "Remember that you have only one soul, that you have only one death to die. Then there will be many things about which you care nothing. That is, you will give up everything that has no eternal value. Only love and fidelity to God are of value for eternity." And the little flower said, just a little over 100 years ago, she said, "In the evening of life, you will be judged on love. How much do you love God? How much you love your neighbor because of God?" And finally, because Holy Mother, the Church, in this Mass has special words for the priests, for the clergy, to lead the people. That's what was done in the early practices on Ash Wednesday, as I said. The priest or the bishop would lead the people, after they had received the ashes, into the church. So, as our Lord, the Good Shepherd, leads his sheep, so does the priest lead his people. He does not follow the people. He leads them. That's his office, that is his duty. And we, as ordained ministers of God, have a special obligation to pray for the people, to perform penances for all the people, especially all of you who come to Mass here every day of the year, but especially during Lent. As we, the clergy, have to perform penances for ourselves, we have to save ourselves first with God's grace, but then, when we do that and lead a life, God willing, of virtue and sorrow for our sins, then we can help the people to do that. Because a person who's in charge, a superior, whether it is a political leader, a mother or a father, an employer, or a pope or a bishop or a priest, he has to practice, she has to practice virtue. And penance, and fasting. That's what a leader is. That's what the great military generals of the past would do. They were leaders because not only did they want to win the prize, defeat the enemy, whatever the case is, but they were an example for those beneath them. That is what our Lord especially did, finally, with his apostles. Because he knew, I have to choose 12 men, and I will, over 3 years, teach them to listen to my preaching, to witness my miracles that gave credence to my words, and then to pray. And he did that, and encouraged them and stirred up in them such a desire to imitate him that they said one day, teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us. And that is when he recited, composed, gave us the most beautiful prayer of all, the Our Father. So we hope and pray that these words will inspire you to be fervent during this Mass, not to waste these moments, to read, reread in your missal during the Mass to keep you from being distracted, the prayers, especially the blessings of these ashes, and to pray fervently. And not waste these precious moments during this Mass of today, and then especially the next 40 days of Lent. May God bless you.